This is the Cane's Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the host of the Cane's Corner Podcast, Adam Gold.
There are coming of age moments, and then there's what happened at PNC Arena on the 20th anniversary of the opening of that building. Andrei Svechnikov did Andrei Svechnikov things. He had a lacrosse-style goal, a power play goal within 3:22 of each other in the third period, and the Hurricanes stormed back and won a 2-1 game over the Calgary Flames. I'm Adam Gold. Alec Campbell will join me in just a second. And this is what I hope will be the first in a long line of morning after Hurricanes podcasts. Canes are now 8-3-1. That's an incredible start. I believe it's the best start in franchise history with 17 points in the month of October. Peter Mrazek was great again. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's bring in Alec Campbell, Stormwatch, Aftermath, Man About Town, intermissions for the Hurricanes Radio Network. All right, sir. Did the building sound as good as it seemed? Even though I know the crowd was good, but not certainly wasn't a capacity crowd. I thought it just came across where I was sitting in my house as a pretty energetic building, especially in the third.
Yeah, actually, I thought it was a kind of a quiet building for a lot of the night. And I actually thought that part of it was that maybe they had gotten beaten down over the course of the game just because the Canes couldn't get anything to work. I mean, I didn't think the Hurricanes played a bad game. They had moments where they didn't play well. I thought they started the first couple of shifts that were good, and then the rest of the first period kind of wasn't their best, but they came out with a push in the second, and I thought they owned the third period. And the third period really is when the crowd kind of got a little bit more life, but even then, the Canes were throwing everything except the kitchen sink at Calgary, and nothing was really working. So when Svechnikov scored that goal, yeah, I mean, it obviously came alive, but I know among the media contingent, the people who are there all the time and see Andre work on that move, because he does practice it regularly, and he has tried it before last year, and it didn't work. I think we were just kind of like, oh, my God, it actually worked. I think that was more the reaction. I think the crowd maybe was different from the media. That was my reaction, was he actually did it.
Yeah.
And it actually worked, because last year, I'm pretty sure he tried it and it didn't work. And I'm not sure Rod Brindamore was that thrilled about it. I don't think he was really angry necessarily, but it was kind of one of those things that was like, okay, kid, why don't you learn how to play before you start doing all this wacky stuff? But I said this to John in the aftermath, and, you know, you look at plays like that, and in retrospect, when they work, it always makes sense, right? But in that moment, I felt like it was almost like a trick play. It was almost like a trick play in football or something like that, where, you know, nothing was working. So the context of it, I think, matters, because, like I said, the crowd was kind of beaten down. It was kind of quiet. They needed to do something to try to spark the comeback. And so in a way, it was the perfect time to do it. Nobody was thinking about it. You know, nothing was working, so try the wacky thing, and it worked, man. It was crazy.
You know, it's what's interesting. First of all, you brought it up. If you poured truth serum down Rod Brindamore's throat, he would probably say that he hated the idea of Svechnikov trying that. It's the case where if you're going to do it, you better score. Although I guess it's the same chance of doing anything else. And I really thought that Calgary, I mean, how long are you going to allow Svechnikov behind the net with the puck without anybody coming at him? Nobody made him make a move. So they sort of invited that play. But I think your assessment of the game is spot on. I thought the first 3 minutes, Carolina was great, could have scored a couple of goals. And then the next 17 minutes of the first period, I mean, they were lucky to get out of there. It took Chris Huffine, the video staff, figuring out that was an offside play to make it to draw it back to 1-0 because Carolina was really a mess defensively.
I wonder if Jay Gardner thought that was offside initially, which is why he was a little bit lackadaisical to the puck near the Canes bench.
Right.
And that turnover, the first turnover he had occurred. So maybe he knew something we didn't before that almost second goal was scored.
Yeah, but it's just kind of ironic, and I pointed this out. I believe Bill Peters was 0 for 2,487 on challenges.
He was, man. He was awful. And Rod's like 100%.
Yeah, he's like Tony Gwynn. Yeah. It's just really, it really is amazing. All right, so what do you think of the top line? I actually thought that Warren Fogle, for the second game in a row, I thought had a real impact on the way Aho and Svechnikov played together. It's the second game in a row that was your top line, or whatever. The numbers are silly to even mention, but that Fogle, Aho, and Svechnikov played together. I actually liked what Fogle brought. I think he's played his best two games of the year, the last two.
I love Fogle tonight. I was talking with Dennis Cox during the game. There were two guys that stood out to me because, you know, we're going to focus on Svechnikov, and we should at this point. He was the first star of the game. He had the sickest goal, you know, that maybe we've ever seen at PNC Arena. But he had a couple of bad moments at the beginning of the game. He had a terrible turnover in the first period where he tried to swat one out of the zone and essentially centered the puck from Calgary. And that was that was just one of the few mistakes that he made. But, you know, two names that stood out to me, Fogle, easily one of them. Brian Gibbons, I thought, was all over the place.
Yeah.
And this game kind of lended itself, I think, to those types of players, the grindy energy players that have to play that way because of just the style that Calgary plays. I mean, you remember Bill Peters and you know, everyone always used to use the word structure around him. And he's pretty good at getting guys to, you know, play pretty sound defensive hockey and keep guys out in the middle of the ice. And so they really needed Warren Fogle and guys like Brian Gibbons to loosen things up. You know, and Gibbons obviously not playing on those top two lines, but, you know, I kind of liked the fourth line tonight a little bit.
Loved it.
And Fogle, you know, he had a great chance early in the game, great save by Riddick. But yeah, he was really good tonight. And I think he's been good over the last few games, to be honest with you. So, you know, maybe that button that Rod pushed, switching he and Teravainen up, is working.
Yeah. Look, and they've been looking for a combination to get, they always try to get Aho going. Nobody should have to try to get Aho going. That he should come that way. And I'm not really worried about Sebastian. But I think that at some point, Fogle looked in the mirror and said, I got to get back to doing what I'm doing. Because you and I have talked about this, and we've talked about it with John, that the forecheck had been missing. But I thought that line was very good in terms of playing deep in the opposing zone. But I think he's just been really good. He didn't even kill penalties tonight. It did take one penalty as well. A couple of quick things. Because I considered Fogle as one of my stars. And I considered Brian Gibbons as well, who had a redirect try in the high slot that I think Riddick made a good save on. But Jacob Slavin, I believe Johnny Gaudreau will go to sleep tonight, seeing 74 in his mind. Because, I tried to look at it to confirm it, but I think Slavin probably was on the ice for 16 of Gaudreau's 20 minutes, maybe 15 or 16 of Gaudreau's 20 minutes. He was always there, and there's a reason why Gaudreau only had two shots.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we end up talking about Jacob Slavin every single game because he's so good. I got to say, like, I've almost I mean, it's hard to not pay attention to Jacob Slavin, but I feel like I watch him more offensively now to see what he's doing. Only because, like, I know he's going to be good defensively. but he made so many good plays on the defensive end. But offensively, man, he was good too. He had one situation where he threw the puck off the pad in the third period that Svechnikov couldn't finish.
Right.
And I love that play. I mean, I'm not even sure if he was trying to score there, but I love the idea of throwing it off the goaltender's pad like that. So, I mean, I don't even know what else to say about him because he's so good. He's so smart. He's so heady, and he makes so many good defensive plays against the league's best players.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. He was great against Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews on Saturday against Chicago. I thought Dougie Hamilton was very good tonight, played physical. Brett Pesce, 24-some-odd minutes, led everybody in ice time. Special teams was good. The penalty kill looked very good. Well, Peter Mrazek looked very good, and we'll get to him in a second. Power play connected on a goal. Of course, Andrei Svechnikov. Great screen in front by Erik Haula. And there's one thing I love about Haula. He is not afraid to get in front of the goaltender, and he basically made a living there for Carolina. Smart play, net front presence. All right, Mrazek, 60 saves on 61 shots in the last two starts. I thought he was good in Columbus, even though they lost the game in overtime. I really thought he was excellent in Columbus. I mean, start him on Friday, right?
Yeah, I definitely say start him on Friday. You and I had talked about maybe letting him go two games. John Forslund in the aftermath said, no, don't do that. Go ahead and get to Reimer one of those games. But, you know, I think he's on a roll right now. He's won five in a row at PNC Arena this year. He's won 14 in a row going back to last year at PNC Arena. I mean, even if you look at Peter Mrazek's statistics as an opposing player at PNC Arena, he's ridiculous. I think he's like 16-5-1. As a goaltender all time at PNC Arena, whether he's a Hurricane or not. But yeah, I mean, he's on a roll again this year and right now. So I think you definitely go to him again on Friday night. I'm kind of with you on this. I mean, I know it's early in the season. Reimer hasn't played in a while. You do need to get him a start at some point. Seems like an opportune time to do it, but Peter to me is the type of guy that feeds off of that. You know, like when he gets going, you kind of want to ride it because that's sort of his MO. He likes the, you know, the confidence, the emotions of all of that helps him.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's necessarily the, you know, like Curtis McElhinney last year, he's the type of guy who can get up for any game just because of the way he plays the position. It's so technical and it's so mental that he can stop and start. You know, Peter's not like that for me. So I'd be fine if they decided to roll him on the back-to-back both nights, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, no, they didn't do it at all last year. I don't necessarily think it will happen, but hey, if Peter has a kind of a light workload on Friday against Detroit, although Detroit, by the way, played a good game and beat Edmonton 3-1 tonight. They allow a ton of goals. They have allowed 46 goals so far this season, almost four goals a game.
But, I mean, Calgary's allowed a bunch of goals too. They're like eighth highest in terms of total goals allowed.
Yeah. By the way, I hope Noah Hanifin is okay. Blocked a shot, and eventually had to be helped off the ice. Very quietly, Andrei Svechnikov has 12 points. Remember when he didn't have any goals, except for the empty netter? Now he's got his last 4 points have all been goals. What'd you think of?
Well, I mean, he went five games without a point.
Yep.
Before Chicago.
Yep. He's and Teravainen has 10 points in 12 games so far. I mean, other than Aho, really, their best players have really done you know, a fair amount of damage on the score sheet. What'd you think of the Happy Halloween storm surge?
I liked it. I mean, they've been basically doing the same one over and over and over again, which is fine with me. I don't necessarily care, but it was fine, I guess. I mean, loved it. I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion on it, but it was appropriate, right? I mean, it is Halloween.
I love the creativity of it. Yeah, I just absolutely love the creativity of it.
Those guys, they seem to love, they do this Halloween party every year. They love it. I'm not the biggest Halloween guy. Like, I'm cool with, drinking bourbon and handing out candy. But, like, in terms of dressing up, I would never do it if I didn't have a wife.
So you have dressed up recently?
Yeah, the last couple. Did we do it last year? I don't know if we dressed up last year, but since Meredith and I have been together, we have dressed up a bunch of times. But she does all the work.
Okay.
She plans it.
Good.
She plans it. She gets all the stuff together, and she just tells me what I'm going to be, which I'm cool with. If that's the case, like, I'm down with that. But if it weren't for her, I probably wouldn't even know it was Halloween, to be honest with you.
Well, I would, just based on the amount of candy in the grocery store. I seem to go to the grocery store like every other day.
So Meredith bought Halloween candy last week, and she's like, we're all ready. And that's been a major problem because it's just been out in a bucket, like near our door. And she and I have just been killing it.
Oh, good. Well, good for you guys. Good for you. We don't have any trick or treaters up here. The horses don't trick or treat. So we don't have to worry about it. Real quick. There was some feistiness tonight, which I really liked, especially late in the game, in front of Mrazek. How about Joel Edmondson, kind of almost flipping off the helmet of, Elias Lindholm?
Yeah, he mushed him. He mushed him.
It was absolutely fantastic.
What's Lindholm doing there, by the way? Like, what does he think's going to happen?
Being a hockey player.
Why do you want a piece of Joel Edmondson? You know?
By the way,
Lindholm.
I'll say this about Elias Lindholm. Always liked him as a player. When he when he played with a little bit of an agitating edge, he was a better player. And the more he does that, the better he is. I've always been a fan. I always liked Elias Lindholm. He's a great kid. And I didn't even mind. I know Tripp was talking about it on the broadcast. I didn't even mind the mocking the storm surge last year.
No.
That didn't bother me at all. I didn't like to see him score the first goal.
No.
I'm an apologist for Elias Lindholm. But, hey, you know what? Just because Joel Edmondson is twice your size doesn't mean you have to back down.
3 points for Lindholm against the Hurricanes.
Yep. He's a wonderful player.
He's been moved on.
Wonderful player, and got free of Jordan Staal and scored the first goal. But then Jordan got him back. He won the draw that ended the game because you know those guys were gassed on the ice.
Also, you realize in the third period that the Canes hadn't allowed a single shot until like 3 minutes or 2 minutes left in the period.
Yeah, it was a total dominant third period.
Yeah.
10-3 shots on goal, 10-6 scoring chances, although I don't even recall Calgary having too many chances, except maybe all of those were late.
Well, at the very end, they had one really good one.
On the power play.
They had a 6-on-4 power play, and there was a deflection in front. Tkachuk had a rebound opportunity, and Peter came up with two big saves.
Yeah.
How about the save on Mangiapane, too? From Peter was insane.
He was tremendous.
The big glove save.
Yeah. Like, to be honest, I mean, he was the first star of the game. Svechnikov scored 2 goals, but Mrazek was the best player on the ice.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So
I would agree with that.
All right, I hope this was a successful maiden voyage. I hope people will listen
to it
again. Yeah, we will find out. We'll find out if anybody listens to it. Alec Campbell, I'll see you on Halloween. Happy Halloween to you.
All right, man. Same to you. Later.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner podcast with Adam Gold. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsBand.com, the WRAL SportsBan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the Canes Corner podcast.